Hari Radha Madhava Kunda Bihara Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari Abba. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Varadhari Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Varadhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tiro Vanachari Yamuna Yamuna Tiro Vanachari Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pari Brajakacharya Hastata Vizrati Shri Mahari Shri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Nityalera Pish Daum Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pari Brajakacharya Hastata Vizrati Shri Mahabhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Namachaya Haridas Thakur Ki Paimteka Hoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktavinda Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Mathura Vrindavan Dham Ki Maya Pranabdip Dham Ki Jagannapuri Dham Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Yang Munamai Ki Ganga Glory Sam Devotees Glory Sam Devotees Oh Glory Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga Paramanandi Paramanandi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Nayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devi Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Prayeshu abhadreshu nittam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyu tamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 22, Verse 12. Ujatasya hi kamasya prativado na shashyate api nirmukta sangasya kamaraktasya kim punaha. Ujyatasya hi kamasya pratibhado na shashyate api nirmukta sangasya kamaraktasya kim punaha. Ujyatasya hi kamasya pratibhado na shashyate api nirmukta sangasya kamaraktasya kim punaha. Somebody else hiding out there. Ujyatasya, which has come of itself. He, in fact, kamasya, of material desire, pratibhada, the denial, na, not, shashyate, to be praised. Api, even, nirmukta, of one who is free, sangasya, from attachment, kama, to sensual pleasures, raktasya, of one addicted, kimpunaha, how much less. Translation, to deny an offering that has come of itself is not commendable even for one absolutely free from all attachment, much less one addicted to sensual pleasure. To deny an offering that has come of itself is not commendable even for one absolutely free from all attachment, much less one addicted to sensual pleasure. Purport, a material life, everyone is desirous of sense gratification. Therefore, a person who gets an object of sense gratification without endeavor should not refuse to accept it. Kardama Muni was not meant for sense gratification, yet
He aspired to marry and prayed to the Lord for a suitable wife. This was known to Swayambhuva Manu. He indirectly convinced Kardama Muni, "You desire a suitable wife like my daughter, and she's now present before you. You should not reject the fulfillment of your prayer. You should accept my daughter." Ujjatam. Next verse has this word. Ujjatasya ujjatam. Om Gyan Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalaka Chakshur Malaitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhitam Tapitam Jaina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gatah Mahyam Dadati Sabadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Itam. Hey Krishna Kona Sindho Dina Bondo Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostu Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhamsute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakaupatrubhyascha Kipa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaurva Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. Ujjatasya hi kamasya pratibhado na shashyate api nirmukta sangasya kamaruktasya kim punaha. To deny an offering that has come of itself is not commendable even for one absolutely free from all attachment, much less one addicted to sensual pleasures. I don't know why I think this is funny, but somehow it sounds funny. I was just thinking of Krishna's Gorkhashodas Babaji, that he couldn't even see sometimes, but somebody gave him some rupees, he would keep it kind of carefully. And then some people might find fault that, oh, he is Babaji, he shouldn't even have rupees or something. Meanwhile, they might have millions of dollars. Was that Jagannath Babaji? But definitely Gorgashurdas Babaji would keep everybody, even the Babaji's, keep some. I mean, Prabhupada was the most renounced, but he kept bank account deposits, especially in India. And Yukta Vairagya, this is called Yukta Vairagya. So somebody, Rupa Goswami gives a very clear understanding, codified, that papanchakataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastana mukshubi parityago vairagyam palgu katyate, that to reject that which can be utilized, yukta vairagya means to utilize the vairagya. Raga means attachment and vairagya means detachment. So vairagyam palgu. Falgu means false, like Falgu. They're apparently named after some river. There's any river also is said by the shore. Sometimes the Jalangi, it's almost like quicksand or Ganga, any river. Probably people have drowned that way because it's the sand, you can't say, is it sand, is it water? Is it land, is it water? So this is very tricky. So this is called false. Falgu Baba. Bhakti True made his films, TV films. He named one Baba, Falgu Baba. It's kind of funny. It was based kind of loosely on Rishikeshena, but he kind of poeticized it. and his name was Falgu Baba. And he was very much attached, not only attached, but based on a very kind of heavy-duty, vicious yogi from Bhaktivinoda's era. So this Yukta Vairagya was perfected by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. Bhaktivinoda also, but he was not, most of the time, until his last 6 years, wasn't acting like a total Vairagi or Babaji. But so even during Rupa Goswami's time, we can well imagine that there were those who were Falgu Vairagis, sometimes called Markata Vairagya. Markata is referring to monkeys. That monkeys, we can read in very, very vivid detail in the fifth canto about the monkeys. It's described there by Shukadeva Goswami. So even in Shukadeva Goswami's time, monkeys are jumping from trees to trees. Similarly, human beings are jumping from body to body. But Prabhupada gives very exhaustive, amazing purports there, for which he should well deserve the, what to speak of Pulitzer Prize, probably the Nobel Prize for writing those purports in fifth canto, fourth canto, third canto, second canto, first canto, as you can well imagine. So this Markata Vairagya means monkeys, they have nothing, they apparently very detached, but they are very attached. They have so many wives. Nowadays, I've seen some very cute monkeys online, especially in places like Thailand, or they train these little monkeys, and these monkeys are quite smart, and they can do household duties, farming and everything. They bathe themselves, so we can't just say monkeys are just jumping around. Some of them are, but generally in the jungle they look detached, but they're not. So this is Markata. When Raghunath Das, he was a son of very, very, very rich Haranya, and what's his uncle's name? Father. His father and uncle were so wealthy. So he had heard all about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Shantipur. He asked his father and uncle, Majumdars, that they were big landholders, and they used to support Brahmanas. Very, very pious, but very attached, because the uncle had no son, and he was the only son of the uncle and the father. Therefore, they were very protective of Raghunath Das, and they had like 11 people guarding him, and 4 or 5 were guards, actual guards. You know, you can imagine Kshatriyas being paid to guard, don't let my son go anywhere. And there were a few, 4 or 5 that were just servants, just doing anything he wanted, like that. So when he went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was, of course, so ecstatic, and he was so anxious. When can I come? I will come to Puri with you. He was crying and rolling on the ground in ecstasy. So Mahaprabhu discouraged him. He said, no, don't act like a madman. This is Markata Vairagya. He discouraged him. But he said, later on, Chale, when the time arises, as it says here, this word is a nice word, as we're reading here, Udyatasya. When that time arises, then you can do some, Chale means trick. Mahaprabhu was up to so many tricks. We can read that in Adi 7 also, that he devised many chale, many tricks, how to trick. His sannyas is his final, one of his major tricks, that he took sannyas. He doesn't have to take sannyas. Sannyasa kritchamo shanto nishta shanti prayana. It's predicted that he will take sannyas. He'll appear golden, and so many descriptions are there in Mahabharata, in the Bhagavatam, other books. So he advised him not to become like a crazy fellow, Baal or Vatul. Just act normally. So that was, Mahaprabhu knew his mind. He told him like that. So He acted very normally for quite some time. His father and uncle, mother, they gave him one, Prabhupada describes, a wife that was more beautiful than a heavenly, like Indra's wife. They found the most. So Prabhupada said he was not even staying in the house with his wife. He was staying outside the house. So obviously he was. But because he was more or less acting normally, doing all his duty, we know that he met with the Muslim government. They came to give a hard time, very hard time, the tax collectors, because his father and uncle were tax collectors and had a lot of money, extra money. But the Mohammedan government thought they had too much money. So they fled away when they knew that the government was coming. They left Raghunath there. And Raghunath, he was speaking to the Mohammedan tax collector, government man. I'm sure he came with, not alone, so to speak. So after Raghunath spoke to him for some time, that tax collector was crying in ecstasy, or he just, Raghunath Das melted his heart. This was Raghunath Das. He was so great. You could say a diplomatic, but very expert. Nipponol, all the six Goswamis. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipponol. They studied the Shastras exhaustively, and they were very expert. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipponol. Said Dharma Sam. Or else how could they set up the Dharma for the Kali Yuga? Yuga Dharma, Kali Yuga, Yuga Dharma, Nama Sankirtan. Why should one do Nama Sankirtan if I just say you do that? No, there's logic there, there's Shastra behind it. So Raghunath Das is one of those Rupa Raghunatha Parijaras. Kalavap Yati Gudheyam. So this is described by Kaviraj Goswami in unlimited places, very poetically, very wonderfully, about six Goswami. So Raghunath Das was told by Mahaprabhu that don't act crazy. When the time comes, like here it says, Ujatasya, Yadritcha Labha Santushto Dvandati Tovi Matsara Samasiddhavas, in the fourth chapter of the Gita, the one verse, that the devotee is happy, whatever comes of its own accord, without Tat prayaso na kartabhya yata yorvaya param. Prahlad Maharaj told to his schoolmates, whatever comes of its own accord, you don't act, don't get trained up in this demoniac philosophy. Means that at every moment, and he described it in detail, that sukham mayandrikam daicha dehayo gaina, all these verses in Bhagavatam 7th canto, how Balya Kaishare, Mugdashya Balya Kaishare, acting in shape propitastama, half of your life is wasted in sleeping, and so you should try for Krishna consciousness. So anyway, Kamasya Nendriya Pritya Labo Jivata Yavata Jivasya Tattva Jigyasa. Those who are after material things, but they should also be inquiring into Brahman. Kamasya Nindri Pritya. So here, Manu is making one more statement, one more, because he's Manu, Manu Samhita. And so he knows the Shastras in and out, right? Therefore, he's convincing him. He doesn't really have to convince him, but if we take the shloka is very instructive, out of context. So Prabhupada says here, in material life, everyone is desirous of sense gratification. Therefore, a person who gets an object of sense gratification without endeavor should not refuse to accept it. Many times, we could say many times, at least we can, Prabhupada's pastimes, there would be some news reporter, they think they're very intelligent. Oh, we know this Swami is supposed to be renounced, but he's driving in Rolls Royce, or he's driving in this car or that car. Oh, Swamiji, but you are saying everyone should be renounced, but you're driving such a car. Rolls Royce car, or this car, or that car. What did Prabhupada tell them? Huh? Right, right. No, I'm getting to. He said, "No, they should offer me better a gold Rolls Royce car, solid gold." And of course, Prabhupada was expert at shocking these people. We can think of so many times that he shocked reporters. And this was one of them. Several times they would challenge about the car. You know, of course, in the beginning, especially, you know, we hear about Prabhupada, he would get in a Volkswagen Beetle hippie car, or in New York, they had no seat even in the car. They had to get a chair or something in the car. Devotees used to drive some interesting vehicles in those days. It was not that much money. So Prabhupada was going along like that. He wasn't demanding. It's like Prabhupada first came to New York. He was waiting in line for prasadam. Maharaj was there. He would wait in line with everybody else. They didn't think, oh, he's the Jagat Guru. No, they're thinking, what were you thinking? I don't know. But you know that term, what were they thinking? That, I think that applies to that. Like, there's Prabhupada humbly waiting in line, sometimes, many times washing up the dishes and pots and pans. Then, I don't know who the first person asked, oh, Swamiji, you need help washing dishes? Yes, you can help. Meanwhile, Prabhupada was sometimes, he had to live with some guy, there was meat in the refrigerator. Therefore, Prabhupada's godbrothers, they were very reluctant to come to the West. They kind of had an idea that they would have to suffer some sort of heavy austerity in this way. But Prabhupada was willing to. He was just taking things, whatever came, just like his boat ride. If he had been offered a plane trip, he would have taken that. So, Swamiji, why are you driving the car? Well, comes to mind also in Delhi in 1976, there was a bunch of reporters. I didn't see it, but you can hear it. You can hear them. Many times I've heard this discussion. And they sound quite young, actually. And they're challenging, Swamiji, you know, why we're suffering in India? You know, why we're suffering in India? We want to enjoy. In the West, they're doing so many nonsense things, but they're enjoying. But in India, we're supposed to be, they had some idea that because they're Indian, they're better, which is true if they take it up. But they had this abstract idea. So Prabhupada, is interesting conversation, like all of Prabhupada's conversation, but it's maybe more interesting what Prabhupada tells them, that he says, well, you know, Krishna appears in your country. He doesn't appear in US or Europe. He appears in India, and Ramachandra and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all appear in your country. Bharata Bhumite Hola Manushya, he's quoting some slokas. Why you don't take it up? You haven't taken it up. Therefore, you should suffer 10 times more than they do in the West. It's like, woo! I mean, like to have seen their faces. You should suffer 10 times more. You have Bhagavad Gita here. Anad Bhavanti Bhutani Parajanyarana. So Prabhupada is quoting these verses from the third chapter. And also from other parts of the Gita. So Krishna says, grow grains, but no, you have Goodyear tire plant. Of course, these poor reporters did not, they didn't create the plants, but so they were shown very clearly by Prabhupada. And they also challenged that these people are going out, but they're giving you, aren't they just giving you all their money? He said, yes, they're giving me money, but I am doing more for them also. And every devotee knew that. Prabhupada is working, maybe resting, if you can say it, resting. No one ever saw him like, actually Prabhupada did take rest, but not like ordinary persons take rest. And they are life sacrificers, Prabhupada said, life sacrifices. We have no such life sacrifices in life sacrificers in India. But these devotees, they're young, they could be enjoying, but they go out 12 hours a day, they're sleeping in vans, and They don't have, they take, but they're doing that. They're sacrificing everything for me, but I'm doing for them also. And he was challenging that you're not doing this life sacrificing, but you're meant to do that. Parat bhumite hula. Janma sartaka kori para upakara. And not only make yourself perfect, but for others, para upakara. So this verse also reminds me of, it would remind anybody who knows the Shastra, but Satyam Dishit Artitam Artitam Dinam. Who knows that verse? Huh? Naivartito Yat Puna Artito Yata. What is the rest? Itcha Padanam Nijapada Palavam. That verse is in the fifth canto, 19th chapter, wherein who's the residents of Jambudvip are praying that wonderful verse that was quoted many times. Satyanja Satartita Martito. They're saying that Dishat Artitam. Krishna will give you what you pray for, but if you're sincere enough, then he won't give you any more. He won't give you more that you'll be in Maya. Rather, it says, Itcha Padanam Nijapada Palavam. He will give you everything by giving you his lotus feet. So Kaviraj Goswami, in his verse, he says a similar thing. Ami vigya e murka kenedibo. This fool, because Kaviraj Goswami is putting it in Bengali, you can be a little more colorful, and it's his version. This fool, murke. He's channeling Krishna, how Krishna's speaking, thinking. E murke kenedibo swacharanamrita vishaya bulaibo. I will give him my feet, therefore, Bisha, he'll give up, forget all sense gratification. So, gradually this is going on here in the Bhagavatam. Satyam dishita artitam. Artitoninam. Naivarta yatpuna artitoninam. So this arta, naisham matistavara urkramangreen, vishyatyanarta pagamo yadarta, arta. Arto yam brahmasutra, the ultimate goal, komara machara pragya dharma bhagavataniha durlabham manasam janma tarapya dhruvam artadam. This human life is called artadam, the very valuable that it gives. This is what Prahlad is saying to his schoolmates when he's like 5 years old. Everybody wishes they, at least they would have a kid like maybe Prahlad, if not, maybe like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, who can quote all those things. Imagine if your little boy is telling. Of course, Hiranyakashipu didn't appreciate it too much. What? Rascal. Tried to kill him, couldn't even kill him in so many ways. So this is the mission of the devotees. And these important words here, api nirmukta sangasya, yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam, te dvanda moha nirmukta. That famous verse in the seventh chapter of the Gita, isn't it? Yeshan tanta gatam papam. Those who are finished with all sinful activity and even pious activity. Yeshan tanta gatam papam jana. What is it? Yeshan tanta gatam papam jananam punya karma. Even punya. Nirvana mahani mukta. Bhajanti mam dridavrata. Dridavrata? This word is used, nirmukta. It means liberated, who is free, nirmukta. Muktanam api siddhanam. This is an important verse that's given in 6:14, Bhagavatam. Because Parikshit Maharaj was acting rather bewildered, transcendentally bewildered. He was questioning, he had so many questions. Questions and answers. So he's saying to Sukadeva, he had heard all this whole story about Vritrasura. He said, how is it that this Vritrasura was a demon, but he was a devotee? I still don't understand. Although it was a very ecstatic pastime. So that was up to chapter 13, 6. So when the beginning of chapter 14, then Sukadeva starts describing that Rajobi Samasankhyata, that there's as many living entities as there are atoms. That's a very nice verse. Sama sankhata. Rajobi means atoms. Sometimes it means dust particles, but atoms are smaller. That's true. But even if you take dust particle, but Prabhupada gives the translation as atoms. So from there, he's talking about, of all of those, very few are moving, living. They are, but out of all the atoms, particles, there's so many entities. That's hard to count, but dust particles, atomic particles. So he's saying, out of all those humans that might be walking around, very few are trying to, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes that, describe various places, but very few even want liberation. Siddhanam, api siddhanam, like the manushyam sahasyeshu kaschid yati. So Bhagavatam gives this verse, which is, you could say, even more ecstatic, if that's possible. Muktami siddhanam narayana parayana. Only very few become narayana parayana. Even of the liberated persons, karmi bhya parito hari. It's an Upadeshamrita also. Rupa Goswami summarizes it from a different angle. And there's so many karmis, and somebody has become a gyani, gyani bhya. And out of all those gyanis, somebody becomes a bhakta. And of all the bhaktas, the gopis and then Radharani, all summed up by brilliant Rupa Goswami. Therefore, we are Rupanugas. This is so important. Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya. Sangam Makoryat Pramadashu Jatu. Later on, we're getting there. Gradually, this is chapter 22. We'll get to Kapiladev speaking. So one of his, many of his verses, he talks about Prasangam Ajaram Pasham. Prasangam. Every wise man knows Kaveo Vidu, that attachment is the worst thing for the human being, this material attachment. Therefore, he prescribes that prasangam ajaram pasham. Pasha means rope, also tied up. It's very clear. Therefore, he says, one should make his attachment sadhavo with the sadhus. Sadhavo hridayam mahyam. Krishna says in 9th canto that the sadhus are in my heart, and I am there in their heart. So one should make his attachment to the sadhu. Sa'esha sadhu sukrato mokshadvaram apavritam. Apavritam means to become liberated or free from covering. So this is one of Kapiladev's many verses about detachment. Sangam na koryat pramadasu jatu yogasya param param. One who's a yogi, he should not become attached, sangam nakorya prabhadashu, because this attachment is madness. Therefore, everyone in this material world is mad. Nunam pramatta kurute. This is a statement by Rishabhdev to his sons. Nunam, certainly, nunam pramatta kurute vikarma, because they're vikarmis. We have a habit of calling them karmis. But real karmis means that they would follow some principle. But vikarmi, Rishabhdev says, nunam vikarmi. That indriya pritya, if we're doing everything only for sense gratification, then we're it's described here, the last purport was about the grihamedi. Griheshu grihamedi nam. Pashanapi napashati. They see that everyone's disappearing. Robert describes it in so amazing. So many paragraphs and pages and purports that my father is gone, his father is gone. Still, they're trying so hard for sense gratification. Anyway, Manu's here recommending here this attachment. Atat yantikam kshemam pichamo bhavato naga. Again, the nine yogendras. It's described when Narada Muni was speaking with Vasudeva, Krishna's father. Krishna's father was thinking that he was a grihamedi. He's asking Narada Muni, like, just in a mood. I mean, he's Krishna's father, but he's thinking that. So Narada Muni was then describing this meeting of King Nimi with his non-yogendra. There's so many instructions about so many things. Sarvabhuteshi apashyat Bhagavan Bhavamatmana. The Uttama Bhaktas and the beginners, Prakritya Bhakta, Baleshu. So Prabhupada uses this word, Raktasya. To deny an offering that has come of itself is not commendable, even for one absolutely free. So here's a verse that is like stands by itself. If you just have this verse, there's nothing in here about Manu's daughter or this Kardama praying for a wife. It just stands by itself. Although when you read the purport, you hear about it. Then we can see that again. He should not refuse to accept his daughter. He's still trying to convince him that take his daughter. He's very determined. Gardama Muni was not meant for sense gratification, but at one point he did create an aerial palace, an aerial mansion, and we shouldn't try that at home. He prayed to the Lord for a suitable wife. This was known to Swayambhuva. He indirectly convinced him. You desire a suitable wife like my daughter. She is now present. You should not reject. You should accept my daughter. Ujatam. So somebody offers something, just like Prabhupada, he would accept it. Otherwise, those who are impersonalists, they might have some realization, just like that Prakashananda. Prakashananda described as, in not very good terms, that he had leprosy due to his offenses. He was thinking that Mahaprabhu was acting like a madman. Yes, I've heard, the Brahmin came. A Brahmin was very much devoted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not mentioned really exactly his name, but when he went to see Prakashananda, apparently he was a pretty elevated Brahmin. He knew Prakashananda. Prakashananda was the chief sannyasi in Kashi at that time. So he was describing, and interesting story, I would say, that Prakashananda was laughing. He was laughing. Oh, yes, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I heard. He is a magician. Yeah, he's just some magician, just a magician. And whoever sees him falls under his spell. Well, he should have been thinking, wait a minute, I better not see this guy. I might fall under, which he did. I heard that even Sarvabhauma was a famous pundit. There was no media, so to speak, in those days, but anyone will know that Kashi is far from Jagannath Puri, but he had heard, because when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the chief pundit in all of that area of Orissa, I heard that even Sarvabhauma has fallen under his spell. He's simply a magician. So this is an important feature of Krishna consciousness, that we don't just give up, no. Lilaya, this mukti begins, after this mukti, then there's Krishna consciousness, right? Brahma Bhuta Prashanatma. So thereafter this kind of liberation, the rejecting that relishing. Akila Rasamrita Murti Prasmaruchi Rudha Taraka Pali. This verse is by Rupa Goswami in the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita, and how he's inspired Rija Pranaya. Then after that he's praying that the mimukshas, those who are simply after their own liberation, that their ideas are like rivers and they will be, or like volcanoes under the ocean, they'll be drowned by the ocean of bhakti, bhakti rasamrita, sindhu charata. So this impersonalist, sometimes they're offenders, sometimes they get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't running after them either. He was rather staying far from them. But when the time arose, when the Brahmin came back and arranged this lunch, somehow he convinced Prakashananda that then Mahaprabhu was showing that great example that, okay, I'll go to lunch there, because Although these sannyasis, Prakashananda especially, had heard and were saying so many blasphemous, he was saying so many blasphemous things, but still, when the Brahmin proposed that there would be lunch, he said, okay, I'll meet with Mahaprabhu. We can, yes, you can come to lunch. Then, as soon as, you can say right out of the gate, they have this term, like when the runners at, or the horse, people riding horses, right out of the gate, you could say, Mahaprabhu was just sitting there where they washed the feet. So this was, wait a minute, sannyasis. When you remember when Sarvabhauma was going to instruct Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first he spoke to Gopinath and others. He said, why did he take sannyas? Sannyasis are all puffed up. Sannyasis are supposed to be the most renounced. This is the ABCs. But Sarvabhauma was the instructor of the sannyasis, because they had to learn Vedanta. He knew Vedanta inside and out, supposedly. And so they had to go to him. And he had seen so many sannyasis. So that's the first thing he said, well, why did this Nimai Pandit even take sannyas? Sannyasis are so puffed up. Narayana, danda grahena matrena, namo Narayana bhavet. As soon as they get their danda, they think that they're just like Narayan. So at least Sarvabhauma knew that. So in any case, this Prakashananda, he earned some piety, great piety, to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting there. Why are you sitting there? I should come in. What are you, Abhishad, what is your lamentation? He would think, they were thinking, he must be lamenting something wrong with him. Well, why is he sitting by the... But what they also saw was Mahatejomaya. Mahatejomaya. He, according to Prabhupada's translation, exhibiting an effulgence like 10,000 suns, Mahatejomaya. So this is what they worship. They worship this all-pervading Brahman, and they aspire to this effulgence. So when they saw that, they immediately, they were... Mahaprabhu spoke a few sentences. Oh, it's okay. I'm from an inferior sannyas line. Juraya Nayan. He said, inferior. They immediately changed and said, just by hearing your sweet voice, our ears are so... It's so sweet. Our ears are so passive, so satisfied. And just what to speak of seeing you. So they were already... But if you want to hear something about Vedanta, you want to have some discussion, yes. So Mahaprabhu convinced them. So this is the Mayavad position also, that they give up something that's very wonderful. Bhul, Bhaktisiddhanta described it as a great mistake to give up anything. So impersonalists, they reject Krishna consciousness to some degree. And so this is a great mistake, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, according to Rupa Goswami, according to the Bhagavatam. Any discussions, questions? It's like this just reminded me, I was sitting in the room one time in 74 in Prabhupada's room in Calcutta, and he had a rose, I forget if it was red or pink, and he was smelling like that. And he said, this rose, just see it. He was holding it in the window light and smelling it. It is so wonderful. And they say there is no God. How dull. Prabhupada's position was that this is very dull mentality. Jada. Okay, what's the question? Comment.
Yeah, if you could just recall the last thing that you said, I didn't catch it, the very last point you made in the class.
About the impersonalist rejecting? It falls into line of Falgu Vairagya, because it's a false renunciation of Krishna consciousness. They aspire after becoming, merging with God, becoming Narayan. Did I say that?
So the implication is that almost all renunciation falls in that category of false renunciation, because Srila Prabhupada said, I can use the whole world in Krishna consciousness. But one has to be a little expert to do that. I think
right.
He said at one point you can even use the atomic bomb.
Yeah, but that gets too controversial.
Be a little careful about that one.
Gets a little controversial. So, yeah. I mean, probably I'm pretty dull. I'm not thinking of so many things, so many pastimes of Prabhupada where he utilized so many things. Just like when, it's an interesting, wonderful thing that Prabhupada came to Detroit, so they had this Fisher mansion. They hadn't bought it yet. And it was a little run down, but it was quite an impressive building. And I think when it was even built, it was so many millions of dollars back in the 20s. So it was in a bad neighborhood, so they wanted to get $350,000, I believe, which was quite a bit for Prabhupada. So somehow or other, Ambarish and Lekha Shivanti, which was a great headline, and because you have to understand that her father was the head of the auto workers union, somehow died mysteriously in a plane crash, but so she got some money from that. But and Ambarish was the scion of the Ford family. So here they're combining together to buy this building. In any case, that's just part of the story. But the main part I'm talking about was that Prabhupada was talking about this. He wasn't there at the time, but he was talking about it. And so Prabhupada said, I did not even have 3 paisa. This woman or man, whoever it was, realtor, owner, they wanted 350. I think they ultimately gave him 300,000. But so Prabhupada described it that I did not even have 3 paisa. You can hear Prabhupada on a conversation. I did not even have 3 paisa. I mean, maybe 500 years ago it was worth something, but nowadays, rupees like 90 something rupees to a dollar, 100 paisa to a rupee. I don't think you can buy anything. So Prabhupada said, I did not even have 3 paisa. But then he said how those 2 devotees combined together and got that place. So.
And he asked Prabhupada, so do you think it's worth I think it was 350, it came down to 300 or something. He said, so you think it's worth 300,000? Prabhupada started laughing. He said, you kidding? Every room is worth 300,000.
Right. Every room is worth. Yeah, so especially they fixed it up. I mean, the neighborhood's not that great still, but if you like getting put in the trunk of a car like Bushai or something, you got some thugs put him in or something like that. Or maybe it was he was being deprogrammed. I forget how the circumstances, but he, you know, it's not a good neighbor. I remember going there one time. I went there, and all the you go to a store, and the windows were like 1 inch thick, you know, bulletproof. And
remember going in the kitchen, and I was absolutely amazed, just the tiling, the way that the kitchen floor had, the tiles were so artistic and colorful and interlocked and everything. And that was just the kitchen floor.
Yeah. Well, during Prabhupada's time, we had, in India, we had the Calcutta temple. Now we own it. In those days, I think they were just renting for years and years. And then we started building. There was Hyderabad, but mainly it was Mayapur, Bombay, and Vrindavan, like that. Otherwise, there was Delhi, they were renting. Now, in India, there's 480 temples. I think ISKCON owns all of them, and quite opulent. You can sometimes see, they posting. It's like mind-boggling, like more than 10 temples just in Delhi, 4 or 5 in around Mumbai. And so this is still going on. This is all by Prabhupada's power, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's power, but this mood of Prabhupada that, yes. So Prabhupada gets the credit. You know, I'm sure everyone who has those temples, they imagine Prabhupada walking in and how pleased he would be to see it. Just the face of Prabhupada and his mood like that. So we can't even calculate.
That story, can I say something? There's that story from Lilamrita, Prabhupada Lilamrita, where when Prabhupada said this will be the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. And the hippie devotees are saying, boy, the Swami is really quite a dreamer. We don't even go north of 14th Street at Union Square, and he's talking about an international society. Yeah. What a dreamer. But little did they know.
Yeah, so anyway, okay, so Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Haribol.